Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to our maintenance call. I am Coach Lizzie here with you again. I was with the call earlier. Hello again. Great to be here. I'm so glad that you are here. Please put your chat to everyone instead of hosts and panelists. Lisa's back. First round was amazing. It was fun, wasn't it? It was a good call. Good questions earlier today. All right, speaking of, please raise your hand. Yeah, I saw that, Jean. Yeah, that was funny. So please raise your hand for maintenance coaching. If you have a question about maintenance, anybody can ask a question. This is primarily about maintenance, but I am a big fan of like thinking about the maintenance mindset, even if you haven't lost all your weight yet, even if you've got 10 pounds to go, even if you've got 100 pounds to go. Are you serious? Corinne is live right now. Yeah, I mean, I saw that there was a live in the Facebook group. I didn't know it was like right this minute. Oh well, you know, she is the queen. She gets a chance to do whatever she wants. So that's all good. While I do have some of you here, I would love for you to raise your hands so we can do maintenance coaching. But while we're waiting for hands to be raised, just some thoughts from the Facebook Live I did. Was it last week? Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. On kind of like the maintenance mindset and shifting your identity around maintenance. So as I'm talking, y'all please raise your hands because otherwise this is gonna be a brief coaching call. But so maintenance. It is interesting how when like we have diets tell us this story that like you know it's in my book I use it, the idea of the Disney princess trap that like we have this sort of Disney princess idea of weight loss, like one day I'm gonna get to my goal weight and I'm gonna be like happily ever after, like sort of like in the Disney stories where the princess kisses the prince and voila, magic, fireworks, and they happily ever after. And just like real relationships are not like the Disney story, real weight loss and real maintenance is not like you get to your goal weight and ta-da, life is happily ever after. And intellectually, we're like, yeah, okay, I know that. But emotionally, what is the story you're actually telling yourself about what maintenance is? Because a lot of us get to our goal weight and we're like, wait, this is it? Where was the parade? The angels did not sing. Where, like, there was no fireworks. And when you find yourself thinking like, why doesn't this feel more exciting? This is just my life now. I don't have that dopamine hit of the scale going down every week or as often as I'd like. Now, instead of thinking about, am I going to lose the weight? Instead of being happy, you think, am I going to gain the weight back? And this is all really, really normal. And what's happening is that your brain is still in the role of a dieter as opposed to a maintainer. And again, that is really, really normal because diets have taught us to think in a diet mentality. They don't teach us to think in a maintenance mentality. And so, of course, you're used to thinking that way. But what that means is when you get to your goal weight, when you're approaching your goal weight, frankly, even if you're not even that close to your goal weight, I would love to for you to begin thinking about shifting your identity away from a dieter identity and one towards a maintenance identity, or at least towards a normal eater identity. So what does that mean? So as a dieter, we tend to have a couple of like unspoken beliefs. Things like my body needs to change in order to be okay. I need to fix it. Something's wrong and I need to be different. As a dieter, we rely on rules and effort and vigilance to feel safe. And food has morality. It's good or it's bad. And of course, if you eat the foods, you then take on that label. I was good. I was bad. I shouldn't have eaten that. I've been good today. And So a dieter, as I've said in the earlier webinar, is a dieter will tend to follow rules or rebel against the rules, whereas a normal eater makes choices. And we're going to talk more about that in just a second. But the dieter kind of uses food as proof for like, is this working? Am I doing it right? Yes, perfectionists, I see you. We perfectionists, we want to get it right. And a dieter is like, excuse me, a diet is like the dream for a perfectionist because it's like, oh my God, I have a very clear-cut set of rules. I can get it right. The problem is, of course, diets don't account for, being human. And so when we don't get it right, we feel like we are bad. Now, the dieter identity is not wrong. You're not a chump for having fallen for it. Like, we all learned it really well because that's what was taught. And that identity has protected you for a long time and it's gotten you here. It's gotten to whatever weight you're at. It's gotten you to maintenance and it did serve a purpose, but it was never meant to be permanent. And so, as you are in maintenance, either approaching maintenance, whatever, like, I want you to think about the dieter identity. Is a role that I played for good reason, but I don't have to always be in that role. I can choose to be a normal eater. And you may be like, wait, what? I can choose to be a normal eater? Like, I just choose it? Yeah. Yeah, you can. So, what does it mean to be a normal eater? So, a normal eater thinks about food. Yes. It's true. Normal eaters do think about food. I think about food, about like, what am I going to eat? What do I want to eat? What is going to help serve me? Normal eaters plan. Normal eaters have overeats sometimes. Yes. Normal eaters eat emotionally sometimes. Normal eaters have moments where they're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Sometimes. Yep. Happens. Normal eaters are not perfect. They are not chilled all the time. And they're not people who never regret a choice. The difference is not in what a normal eater does, the difference is in how they think about it. So it sh the big shift between a dieter identity and a normal eater identity is going from morality to logic. So, for example, let's say you stayed up late last night. You would expect the logical outcome from that is that, like, you're tired tomorrow. And that doesn't mean you were bad. That doesn't mean, like, you're a terrible person. It was like, I made a choice. I stayed up late. I'm tired today. Logical outcome. Okay, moving on. Have some extra coffee. Let's say you stayed out in the sun, probably not recently, given that it's a little cold out, or but you stayed out in the sun in the summertime, and the logical outcome is that your skin is a little red and tender. You were not bad. Maybe you were just having fun with your friends, or you forgot to put on an extra layer of sunscreen. And so, like, logical outcome, your skin is tender the next day. Maybe you lifted weights. Logical outcome is you're sore. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just a logical outcome. It's not moral. Food is the same way. I chose to eat a salad. Logical outcome is my weight stays the same or goes down. I chose to eat pancakes with a side of cinnamon buns. Logical outcome is the scale is up tomorrow. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just logic. It's just what happened. It's not, was I good or bad? It's not, did I mess this up? It's like, how is the food going to make me feel? And what is the likely outcome of this choice? And what do I want to do next? So that's kind of the high level picture that I want you to think about is that a dieter identity served you, but as you are in maintenance, approaching maintenance, even thinking about one day I want to be able to live in maintenance, is think about, I want to think about being a normal eater. How do I choose to be a normal eater and let go of the dieter mentality, let go of the morality around food, and be like, I'm just making choices that have outcomes. Okay. I love that we've got Annette has raised her hand, and we'll go with that. and we'll see what happens. Anybody else would like to coach and raise your hand? Please do. All right, here we go. We got Annette is coming on. Hi, Annette. It's great to see you again. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I see your sweatshirt says Iowa State. Are you in Iowa?
Yes. I live in Southeast Iowa.
Well, I hope you are staying warm today.
Well, it's all the way up to 12.
All the way up to 12. Yeah. Well, stay warm. Wear that
Yeah,
flannel.
the high yesterday was a -3, so
Oh
we're
my
really
gosh.
killing it
Yes.
today.
Ski wave. Get out the palm trees. What is on your mind today?
Well, I've been coached about this before by different people. Anyway, it's this maintenance range thing. If anyone's heard about it, you can, go have coffee or something. I've been between 130 and 135 for about 18 months, and I don't like it. I don't want to. I'm like my daughter when she was 18 months old. I'd tell her to do something, she'd stomp her little foot, put her hands on her hips, and say, "I don't want to." I would tell her she's not going to make it to 18 years. She keeps up that attitude, but she's now 46, so don't worry, I let her.
She made it.
She still has that attitude, by the way.
It seems like the two of you must have figured something out there.
So now, when I don't, sometimes I forget to weigh, which I know is kind of weird. But sometimes I forget. And then, so I don't weigh like every Friday or every Monday, or it's like whenever I think about it, I'm like, I'll weigh and see how bad it can be. Because I eat the same things most of the time. So, when I get on, I'm usually between 130 and 135. Sometimes I'll go up like just a pound above, and then I'm like, drink more water. So I drink a little more water, it goes back down. So
So what's the
it's
problem of with being between 130 and 135?
because my original goal is 125. And so I always told myself, you should be 125, 125 to 130. That's what I tell myself. So that's what I need to be.
Oh, okay. So you should be 125.
Yes. And I got there.
Oh, what happened then?
2 years ago, well, about 2.5 years ago, I got to 125. Woohoo! And I was there for 6 months or so. And it was easy to stay there too. And then I went and saw my mom, and she was a trigger for me when I would go up there. Just because when I would walk in the door, I'm like, "Hi, mom, how are you?" And she's like, "Oh, how are you?" She'd give me a kiss. And then she'd go like this, and there was this list of things for me to do. I didn't have my coat off, I hadn't sat down. Anything. And it's like, and then she'd sit back in her chair. I need to do this. I need to do this. Now, she lived alone and it was 4.5 hours away. So if I wasn't there, how would any of this stuff happen? Because some of this was like, oh, and get me some water and go do this. And we went to the lake once and she's like, I need sunscreen. Put it on me. It's like, you put lotion on yourself every day. It's the same thing. So things like that would just drive me to eat. And so I got above 130 because I was like 128 when I went up there. So I gained like 3 pounds. So I was 131. I never came back down. It's like then I stayed between 130, 135. I'm like, I think I'll just change my maintenance range. And ever since then, I want to, and it seems like I want to so bad, and then I'm like, why do you want to do it? And my mind says, because I want to. It's that little Amanda voice in me that I gave to her that says,
Okay. So there's lots of different directions we could go. I heard you say, you made the goal weight of 125 because you should weigh that much. So the thing about should is it is like comparing ourselves to an imaginary version of ourselves who always got it right. And today's real version is always falling short of the imaginary version. So why should you be 125?
Because I was there once. I mean, it's what I weighed when I graduated from high school. So, I mean, I should be able to do that.
Okay. How long ago was that? Give or take.
Just yesterday,
Okay. Okay.
I looked like this when I graduated from school. I mean, I'm 68, so 50 years ago.
Okay. So,
That long ago.
okay. I'm guessing, but just want to check, like there's a little bit of humor in your voice. Like, do you really think you should weigh the same that as you did in high school?
Yes. Because I did before, 2.5 years ago, I did. And I was fine.
Okay. Now, I can buy into 2.5 years ago you weighed 125 or in that range versus high school. Okay. Is it okay if we address that rather than high school? Because like a few things have changed since high school, I'm guessing. A few. So, okay. When you were in the 125 range 2 years ago, what were you able to feel then that you cannot feel now?
My pants fit better, which I liked. I felt prouder of myself than I do now. I'm disappointed in me, and that's okay because there is a lot of things that I try now that I can't do. I tried shooting a basketball again and just a free throw. And I played varsity basketball for 4 years in high school. And not that I was good, I was not, but I could shoot a free throw. I can't even get it to the basket now. So, okay, a little disappointed there. I could work on it if it was important enough to me, and I could probably get it there, but it falls short every time. It's right online, but it falls short every time. It seems like that's a metaphor for my getting to 125, it just falls short every time. I just thought of that right now. Is my basketball prowess, is now my weight loss prowess, it just falls short every time when I used to make the basket.
Well, it's interesting. There's a saying that happiness is the gap between expectations and reality. And so, with the basketball, like, what are you expecting of yourself?
Well, I was expecting to actually hit the basket. I mean, I really didn't expect it to go in, but I was expecting to hit the iron.
Have you been practicing?
No.
So, you were expecting to hit the brim when you haven't been practicing a free throw?
Well, yeah. I mean, good grief. I mean, it's a free throw for crying out loud.
Fair.
I used to be a, again, high school was just yesterday, Leslie.
Okay. Yeah, again, but like we're the basketball is an analogy for weight loss, and it's about expectations. That are you expecting to be in the same place you were 50 years ago? And again, if happiness is the gap between expectations and reality, what are you expecting of yourself? And based on, what you've been trying. I'm not sure we need to take the basketball analogy too much further. Let's get back to weight loss. And so with 125, You were able to fit into pants a little bit better. Okay, that is probably a tangible, metric that you could measure. You were able to feel prouder of yourself. Who is in charge of how proud you feel of you? Okay, so who is holding you back from feeling proud now?
Me, because I have to meet the goal. And I
Why?
have, just like when I used to run, I can't run now because I ran out of my knee, but I used to run. If I started the quarter mile, I had to finish it.
So you're holding yourself to standards that make you feel bad?
No, they make me feel good. I have a
Okay.
standard here and I'm not lowering it just because it's hard.
Okay. And so the standard for weight loss is 125 because you think you should.
It's because I want to.
Okay.
Really, I mean, I should I? No. Do I want to? Yes, I want to.
All right.
Because
Good
I
enough for
want.
me. Okay. So then, several months ago, you went to see your mom and she triggered you. And so there's some emotional eating, understandably, there. But now, is it accurate to say that you're not meeting or sorry, seeing your mom regularly? Is she
My mom
constantly?
passed away in August,
Gotcha. Okay.
last August.
I'm sorry for your loss. I wanted to just acknowledge that as well. But I could also imagine in August there may have been some emotional eating around that with her passing and so forth. So now here you are between 130 and 135, and you want to get back down into the 125s. What is the obstacle getting in your way?
It's like I just, well, for one thing, when I got down to 125, I had quit snacking altogether. And I quit nighttime eating because that was all. I did it because of my dad. My dad always made us eat before we went to bed because no child of his was going to go to bed hungry because he did. We had plenty of food. There was not going to be any chance of that, but in his head. So it was a long-held belief. Well, when mom passed away, I took up the eating before bed again. Not that my mom did that, but she always made sure that he ate and she ate because of our diabetes.
Okay.
Because you don't want your diabetes or your
Blood sugar.
sugars to fall during the night.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a pump. If they fall, don't worry. The blaring of the pump will wake the dead, I'm telling you. So if it were to happen, nothing bad would happen. I know that. That is not why I eat something before bed. So I have stopped that, but it came back. And I'm having a hard time stopping that again. I know the last time I stopped it, and it's a handful of nuts. That's what it is. A handful of nuts before I go to bed. You would not think that if you stop that, you would lose 5 pounds, but I did.
No, I believe you. So, why are you eating a handful of nuts before bed?
Well, number one, I stay up until I'm so tired that I get hungry. And then I say, oh, I'm hungry. I better eat because what happens when you get hungry? Corinne says, if you're hungry, eat. I have to do what Corinne says.
What does she say when you get tired?
Oh, you're supposed to go to bed, or you go supposed to rest. But if you can't rest when you're hungry, you gotta eat first. I've got them all. So now on my plan, I have to go to bed before 11 o'clock because I get hungry right around 11 because that's when the beast gets fed. It's kind of like a dog, you know, if you feed a dog at the same time, they'll come and stare at you at that time because they know how to tell time. So then I get to watching a program. It's like I have to know how it ends, as if when you shut it off, it doesn't come on right exactly where you turned it off at. Anyway, I'm smart enough to know that. But so it's just one of those things that I have.
What is the emotional need that the food is meeting?
I think it's giving me a connection to my parents. It's the only thing left.
Okay, well, it would make sense then why you don't want to give it up.
Food was very, very important to my parents. They were both very, very big. My mother fought her weight all her life. And at the end, she's like, she was 205 pounds, and in 18 months, she was 126 when she died.
Oof.
And this is kind of sad, and I would like everybody to hear this. She was in every weight loss thing you can imagine. She fought that and fought that. She was probably 5 foot 2 like me, and she fought that all her life. And in her last, I don't know, probably 36 hours, she looked at me and she said, "When, you know, I fought it all my life, and now I know I'm dying, and I finally got down to the weight I wanted to be."
And what lesson do you take from that?
And I'm like, that is so sad that in her last 36 hours, she was thinking about her weight.
Okay. Where do we see a parallel here, Annette?
Well, I'm not dying.
Okay, good.
I want to get down there and live the rest of my life. So I'm not
Annette,
thinking about my weight anymore.
you could do that today.
But I'm not where I want to be to live the life I want to live.
You are the one that's holding you back from living the life you want to live. You could do that at 135. You could do that at 125. You get to decide. Your mom taught you a lesson that she spent her whole life wishing she was something else. And it wasn't until she was hours from dying until she was like, okay, I'm still thinking about it. You get to learn from that or you get to repeat it. In regards to the nuts at night, that is your last connection to your parents, which makes so much sense that you're holding on to that. Of course, that is a sense of love and safety and connection. So you get to decide, do I want to hang on to this connection to my parents and have the trade-off of being in the 130s? Or do I want to find a way to connect to my parents different than this snack at night and get into the 120s? Any answer is okay. You get to choose. This is your life. You can choose what it means to you. If 130 is okay, if 125 is okay. If you want to connect to your parents through food, you can choose that. If you want to connect to your parents in a different way, you can choose that too.
And I was just thinking of something too. It just hit me. I'm sorry, is there other people to be coached?
We got one more. That's okay. I was just catching up on the chat. That's why I was looking up.
Okay. That, and people are going to think I'm a terrible person, but I'm going to put this out here anyway. I was always embarrassed about my mother and her weight. And so I was out for sports and I ran and I did all this stuff so that I didn't look like my mother. Now my face looks like my mother. Okay. So I'm going to show you a picture of my mother when she was healthy. And
Yeah.
but now you look at her, it's like she was so pretty. But when she was that size, I was embarrassed of my mother.
Well, that says something that illuminates something too, is that there's probably a story in your mind of like, I don't want to become my mother. And perhaps that's why you're pushing yourself to get back to 125.
Because when I was doing all of that, like in high school and when I was a little younger, it was to not ever be that size.
Yeah.
Now, to be my mother was to be the kindest. She could see the best in anybody in the world, which was a little annoying. But you can find anybody in the world, and there could be people that were so mean to her. But well, they're having a bad day. They're not really like that. I can talk to them and find out what's bothering them, and then it'll be okay. All right. I'm more like my dad. But anyway, so, to be like her would be great, but I didn't want to look like her.
So, Annette, here's your challenge. You are ironically repeating her patterns by trying not to be her, which is you're obsessing about your weight and not living your life. That is an exaggeration. I don't know that you're not living your life, but you are not allowing yourself to enjoy your life at the weight you're at. And so your homework is to imagine, how would you define your life if it was not in comparison to your mother, if it was only Annette's life? Not about mom, who she was, what her size was, not about who you used to be in high school. What do you want to choose your life to be like based solely on the bubble of you and your choices? You can choose. But I think that the nighttime eating, as you said, it feels like this last connection to your parents. It's really valuable that you were able to uncover that. And so you get to choose, do you want to keep that? You can. And you keep a little bit of extra weight. That is okay. You can choose that. In the maintenance course, there's the happy weight, which is the combination of the body size you want and the lifestyle you want. You may want a lifestyle that includes being able to have a couple of nuts before bed, because that gives you that sense of love and connection. If you decide you don't want to hang on to that nighttime eating and you're willing to let go of it, you also want to figure out how can you feel connected to your parents in a way other than food. What do you think?
Yeah, I can probably find that through journaling,
Okay.
that connection.
And so when you do your journaling, I want you to also ask yourself, what would it look like for me to define what my happiness in myself looks like without mom being part of the picture, without comparing to mom at all. Just you. Okay. Thank you so much for raising your hand. It's a really interesting conversation. Thank you.
Thanks
Okay.
a lot.
You
Bye.
bet. Bye. All right. We're going to call up Michelle. If anybody has a question for the Q&A, please type it into the chat. Sorry, the Q&A. I'm just checking on the chat. Gotcha. Yeah, so many of us, mothers, parents, they do their best, right? Hey, Michelle, great to see you.
Hi, nice to see you.
It's so exciting to see you again. And your partner back there behind you, which one is that?
Roxy, she's so loyal. She follows me around the house everywhere
Oh,
I go.
she's
And
beautiful.
she's so old, she shouldn't be getting up all the time to do that, but that's okay.
How are things? What's on your mind?
Well, I thank you for the email or the responding and ask coaches about the identity stuff, and I'm still
Sure.
kind of working through that. So today, I think I want to talk about what I talked to you about the first time and asked coaches was surgery and overeating. I've been doing really well, but I still have a little panic inside. So I had surgery the 16th, and the first few days after surgery, I felt really good and calm, and I can't exercise, so I'm just in my, and you do know me a little bit, in my brain it's like I exercise, exercise, exercise so I can eat a little more. That's kind of how I work, like, and it works for me in general. It makes me happy. I like to exercise, so it works. Not being able to exercise scares me. So going into it, when I reached out, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to eat brownies all the time. I'm going to be stressed out. I have not done any of that. But I still feel panicky inside, like it might happen.
Okay.
I didn't overeat at all the first few days. And then a couple days, I've had a milkshake. And I'm like, you did not need that milkshake. You were eating it for not the right reasons. It didn't make me like eat more or less the rest of the day. I mean, I didn't like say, well, screw it, I ate a milkshake, I'm gonna eat everything. I just was like, well, I'll just have a little bit of chicken tonight since I had the milkshake. That was the first time. The second time I went ahead and ate the leftover pizza that I had planned, right? So the milkshake was just extra. But I don't know why I'm scared. I'm doing it fine, but I'm still scared.
Yeah, okay. So I am guessing. So I'm going to toss out a hypothesis and I want you to tell me, like, yeah, not quite here, but a little bit there. So my hypothesis is that when you are able to exercise, you find safety in that like I can have some wiggle room of the milkshake or the brownies because I can exercise, and that feels like a trade-off you're willing to make. What, now that exercise is out of the picture while you're recovering from surgery, there's a lack of safety because you put your trust in the exercise rather than your choices.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. So, where do you not trust yourself with your choices?
It's honestly when I'm in the present moment, I feel okay. It's when I start, anxiety's the future, right? So when I start thinking like, I don't know where I was going with that, but it's like, how am I going to sustain this? Okay, I'm doing it fine now. I had a milkshake or two. I'll be okay. I recouped from that. It's like I keep looking into the future. I stop staying where I'm at. I think that's the problem. I stop staying in today and I start
Okay.
worrying about not exercising a week from now.
Okay. And that's kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning with the idea of the dieter versus a normal eater. A dieter finds safety in following rules and being vigilant and always like, don't ease up, that type of thing. A normal eater finds safety in their response and knowing that I'm going to eat normally most of the time. I'm going to have a milkshake on occasion. And my response will be, just get back to normal. No big deal. So for you, Michelle, when you had a milkshake, whenever it was last week, how did you respond?
The first time I had a small milkshake, I was like, okay, cool. I added some protein powder in it because in my head I was like, well, at least I'll add some protein to it for my healing, right? I had some chicken that night for dinner and I was like, cool, I got this. No big deal. Like, it worked just fine. I think it's the second time that I got a bigger milkshake and then ate the pizza where I was like, okay, now this is the slippery slope we're getting on because you went to the bigger size.
Okay. So, how do you think Corinne would talk to herself if she had a bigger milkshake and a slice of pizza?
I mean, she wouldn't beat herself up for sure. She would, make the next best choice, like
Okay.
from that moment.
Would she be like, oops, slippery slope, here it comes?
No,
Why not?
because that's not what it is. It's that's not what it is. That's what my brain's telling me it is, but Trying to think, what did I eat the next? I'm trying to give myself evidence. What did I even eat the next day after that? I don't remember, but it wasn't a... Oh yeah, my son brought donuts and I ate them. That wasn't planned either. There we go. So now there's my slippery slope. I'm like, dang it, I did eat the donuts that he brought over too.
Okay.
What I did notice though is when I first, right before my surgery, when I reached out to you and I was getting stressed out, I started planning again. I always track my calories. That just makes me comfortable. But I had stopped planning. So I started planning and I planned like the week before, the 4 or 5 days after, and then I stopped. The planner's still sitting there and I haven't touched it. So probably for me, maybe for this next few days, planning would be good because if I start in the morning and I tell myself you can have it, you just plan it for the next day. That's what I always tell myself. You could have it tomorrow, just don't do it today. And if I still want it tomorrow, that's fine. I plan for it. That probably would help my brain a little bit because I was much more calm while I was planning. Yeah, that's probably where I'll go from here is planning again.
So great job kind of piecing together what was helping you feel calm a week or two ago. And I think kind of going back to the shake, then the pizza, then the donuts, what your brain was making that mean was here it comes, slippery slope. It's downhill from here. And we can guess what Corinne would tell herself. I can tell you what I would tell myself. And I certainly have had days like that where, like, 3 meals in a row or like, 4 out of 5 meals were like, oh, that was not awesome, whether it's the holidays or a vacation or whatever. And my thought is not, it's a slippery slope. It's a, whoo, I can't wait to get back to normal because my body feels bloated. I don't love the way I feel. And like, sure, those things were delicious, but were they really worth how I feel right now? Where the hell is the salad? Like, I would really like to have, the GI system start working again. And so it's not like, oh no, here it comes. It's more like, how can I just get back to normal? How can I make choices that feel good? And if I'm still tempted to have the food that's going to be, less healthy, then I'm just like, all right, scale of 1 to 10. Where's this thing rate? Is it a 8, 9? All right, maybe it's worth it. If it's a 6, why am I eating it? And so I think it's about kind of turning down the drama. Just as you said, planning for you helps your brain feel a little bit safer, but also rely on the way you talk to yourself. As soon as you hear yourself be like, oh, it's a slippery slope, be like, okay, hold on. Hold the phone there. Maybe I can just get back to normal. Like I had a couple of meals that got a little out of hand. No biggie. I just want to get back to normal.
Yeah, and I think also remembering that I did have a lot of like st I do have a lot of structure with work, and I'm not working, I'm off work. Plus, I'm trying to grow my business, my real estate business, while I'm off work. So my whole routine, my whole schedule is all flipped upside down. And the fact that I haven't reached for brownie batter is probably a good sign. 'Cause that's my, that's my, I'm totally stressed out. I'm gonna eat the bowl of brownie batter. That has not occurred. So I'm like, your whole schedule, your whole routine, your whole exercising, work, everything is different. And overall, I am doing actually really well. So
You are.
I probably rem I need to remember that. And kind of like, since sometimes when I on my work days, I have to eat breakfast at a certain time. Or I won't get it. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll eat it before I go to work or whatever. Kind of been playing with like, it's kind of been nice because I've been playing with my hunger and like, oh, I'm not really hungry at 8 in the morning. Now that I'm not working, I can eat breakfast at 9 in the morning or 9:30, or not eat dinner at 4 or whatever, right? So it's been actually there's been some bonus to having my whole schedule flipped upside down. I think I needed it.
And just as an aside as well, I think because your routine is off, you're trying to grow your business, which is exciting but also nerve-wracking, and you're not exercising, so you don't have that nervous system outlet. I would encourage you to consider proactively building in some other nervous system regulating tools, or like basically letting the steam off the tea kettle, whether that's if you like to watch Netflix, or if you meditate, or do some deep breathing, that type of thing. I forget where you're located. It's probably anyone other than me in Florida don't want to go outside right now. But if you can get some fresh air for like 30 seconds, that's also good too. But I think that your nervous system is probably a little bit like a little bit in fight or flight because of A, the surgery, your routine is off, and you're not exercising. So proactively, like acknowledge that and proactively build in some ways to let some pressure out.
Yeah, today is the first day I was able to go on a walk, and it's freezing, but it's sunny and it rains here all the time because I'm in Oregon. So I took advantage of the sunshine, bundled up, and went out on a walk. And honestly, that just made me feel so much better. It was a slow
Right.
walk, but I did it. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Michelle, it's great to see you and
Good
Roxy
to
as
see
well.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
All
Bye-bye.
right. Thanks so much. And please
Thank
feel free
you.
to email me back anytime.
Yeah, I'm going to ask for a little bit more help with that identity stuff. I'm just working on it.
You got it. I got you covered. All
Thank you.
right. Thanks, Michelle. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got Liz has raised her hand. So we'll chat with Liz. Fantastic. Annette says, I wonder why humans always dwell on what they did wrong instead of listening to things we did right, because our ancestors passed down their negativity bias to us, because cave gal Sally, who was on the lookout for what went wrong, lived long enough to look out for the tiger and pass her genes down to us. So it's part of our DNA. Hey, Liz, great to see you. I
Hi, good to see you too.
am so thrilled that you raised your hand.
Thanks, me too. So I was starting to type this into the Q&A and I was like, this is so long. I should have probably just raised my hand. Hi, Christy. Okay. So I was sitting here, I've been listening to the call since you started, and I'm just feeling I am so tired of being in weight loss mode. I'm fucking exhausted. Like, it is so exhausting. And I still have weight that I want to lose. And what are some things for me to do to help myself be okay where I'm at, be in maintenance, feel good, keep working out, and not just have this constant running in my mind.
Yeah.
I'm just exhausted.
Yeah, it absolutely can be exhausting. So tell me of the things you're doing now, and let's separate it out between like actions and thoughts. So of your actions, what your lifestyle looks like now, is there anything that you're doing that you're like, I don't know that I can keep doing this 5 years from now?
So recently I started tracking my food again just to see like how much I was intake. I haven't lost a lot of weight since October. Maybe like my app says like 5 pounds. And so I've just been kind of in this up and down of this like 5 pounds, kind of going back and forth. So I started to track just to see what I was intaking. And I don't want to do that.
Just for my context, when you say tracking, is this
Like
like,
in my fitness pal, like calories and
okay.
macros.
Okay. Gotcha. So like
That
you're giving ounces and weighing ish type of
I
thing.
am, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I know I was overeating, but I was like, let me just do this for a little bit. Let me try to get a reset. I know I
Okay.
don't want to do that for the rest of my life. I just don't want to be so obsessed with food, whether I'm tracking or not. I just feel like I'm always like, oh, I shouldn't eat that. Oh, I'm gonna eat that. Oh, well, fuck it. I'm just gonna eat it. Oh, never mind. It's just this back and forth. And I just am tired of it. It feels hard now. I mean, I've lost, 116 pounds, and now it's like getting to this last like 30 to 40. I'm just like, I just don't know if I want to do it.
Yeah. So, specifically regarding to, I don't want to track forever. I completely acknowledge that. One thing you can do is just sort of like have a mental picture of the size of and the amount of the food on your plate and be like, this is how much I eat. And that can be a way to avoid tracking endlessly. The bigger thing though is the thoughts about food and always thinking about food. So let's get into that arena. Give me a little bit of picture of like what's a day in the life inside the head of Liz look like.
As far as like when I'm thinking about food,
Yeah.
I'm always like, okay, I'm gonna eat my next meal. What's gonna go on my plate? But what's gonna produce weight loss?
Okay.
You know, like, and then at the same time, it's like, well, you're lifting weights. I mean, I've been lifting weights for like decades, and you know, and it's like we gotta get enough protein to make sure that you're lifting enough. You know, you should drink a shake, then you should have this, then you should have that. And it's like, I'm on a GLP-1, so the constant food, it's not a food noise thing. It's just a, I'm about to eat. What does this meal need to have
Okay.
type
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't want to fucking have to eat 130 grams of protein or whatever it is. Like, I just
Yeah.
want to eat what I want to eat.
Right. So I guess what I'm hearing is like you've been inundated your whole life with rules and you're still making choices based on like what is the right choice based on the rule of the day, which these days is get your protein in first. Okay. Full disclosure, I am not a doctor, which will not surprise you. So the advice I'm about to give is not medical advice at all. It is simply
Understood.
one of one. I have done the experiment on myself. I got to a point in my weight loss journey where I was like, fuck it. I do not give a shit what the gurus say. I am going to work out because it feels good and I'm going to eat what I fucking want.
Yes.
Because it feels good. And I decided to, like, well, I was like breaking up with the guru's rules. I was like, I'm going to eat and I'm going to work out. And the two shall not meet. It doesn't matter. So I work out because I like it. It feels good. And then I eat the foods that help me feel good. Now, of course, I step on the scale and I'm like, the scale went up. What does that mean based on what I ate? And so forth. But I don't necessarily look at my meal as like, well, this doesn't have enough protein. How many grams of protein is that? I'm like, it's got food. There's something green, something's green, something's protein. Great. And so, again, not a doctor. If you have thyroid issues, if you have, if your doctor's giving you suggestions for this or that, follow your doctor's advice. But it was very freeing for me. And I almost like remember the moment where I was like, like I just like all the noise, chitter, chitter, chitter. I was like, would you just shut up? Stop it. And so I would encourage you to be like, eat food. Is there some protein on your plate? Awesome. Is there something green? Awesome. If you want a starch, awesome. Eat to enough. Eat something delicious. Feed your body. Love yourself.
That's how I want to, like, that's how I want to feel, you know, but it's also like this side of me is like, you haven't hit your goal. And I'm like, maybe this is good enough. Maybe, you know what I mean? But it's
Yes.
like, but I still feel that like I have to get down to this weight. And I'm like, but why?
It's a
Why? If
very
you're
good question. Yeah.
strong now and you're doing great, and a lot of the stuff that you couldn't do when you were 116 pounds heavier, you can do now. Like, why? Like that's what I want to challenge. I mean, would it be great to lose another 10, 15, maybe 20 pounds? Yes. Do I want to have to do the things that I'm doing now of like fucking thinking about it all the time? I don't.
Right. And in full transparency, I was not at my goal weight when I made that decision. I
Okay.
was similarly where you were. I was like, I am so tired of the noise that like I would rather just make choices and be at a higher weight and again, exercise because I like it and eat the foods that feel good. And again, when I say feel good, like there is a combination between it tastes delicious and it makes my body feel good. Like there is a combo. But I think that what it freed me up to do is just allow myself to be like, what do I want to eat and why? Sometimes, it's, I have a story like back in the day, I had quite a relationship with pizza. Like I could put away some pizza. And I remember the day I told my husband, I was like, I think I might need to break up with pizza because it just doesn't make me feel good. And it took me 7 years of like just questioning, how do I feel? And is the amazing taste of it worth how I'm going to feel tomorrow? And now, God, that was more than 10 years ago. Like now I'm in a place where I'm like, I have pizza like twice a year because it's just not worth how my body's going to feel. But that has taken a long time of just examining the food for like, what do I want to feel rather than like, what does the guru tell me I'm supposed to eat?
And I'm gonna skip over like when you were talking to Annette of like living your life now and being happy. Like that's what I want. 'Cause it's like, it's always like, well, you can only be happy once you hit the weight. And I've heard it a million times that you don't have to be at your weight. Your goal, whatever the goal weight, it's some fucking number that you just kind of pick, right? I'm like, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm never gonna be okay being under 200 pounds. I'm just not. I don't want to eat that little. I've done it before. It sucks ass. Like, I don't want to do that. I think the overall thing is like, I just want to be happy. Like, I just want to be happy in my life. And if I lose a couple more pounds, great. And if I don't, like, just to be okay where I'm at. Like, that's when I heard you say that, I was like my whole body was like, that's what I want. Like, I don't want to be thinking about all this other shit.
And very not scientific, but I have seen in my own life more than once. Once I let go and I'm like, you know what? Let's just eat and like pay attention to how my body feels and kind of relax about the scale. It's not immediate, but like one time it took me like 6 months, but like magically 3 or 4 pounds just like melted away. I'm like, when did that happen? I wasn't trying. I was trying to live my life and enjoy, but it was like by relaxing. The cortisol goes down, the inflammation goes down, and your body's like, oh, it's safe now. Like, again, I'm not promising that, but that is a real thing.
And that's a great word, like safety, right? Like safe, like where I'm at. Like, I just, it feels like a grind. It feels terrible.
So Liz, tell me, if we were to just give the middle finger to all the gurus and even like the well-meaning doctors and the, whatevers, and I'm like, Liz, what do you want to eat? What comes up?
I love a charcuterie board, like a mini charcuterie board with, I don't know if anyone's ever had Wickles pickles, but they are the best sweet heat pickles I have ever had. Just stuff like I love eating stuff like that. I actually like drinking protein shakes with my, I don't put it in my coffee, but while I'm drinking coffee to get that in. I don't know. I like Mexican food. I mean, there's a lot of different foods that I like to eat. I just want to eat. Not that I don't want to care. I just don't want it to be like, you can't lose weight if you don't, if you're eating that. And I'm like, I just want that stuff. That's the food noise that I want to stop.
And so if you had your coffee and your protein shake, a couple times a week, you've got a charcuterie board, I'm guessing for lunch or for dinner, Mexican a couple times, would you ever throw in a vegetable here and there? Or are you like, no, I'm not a vegetable gal?
I'm totally a vegetable gal, but I just don't do cook them at home. I'm not a big, I live by myself. So I do eat out a lot. I'm like, I don't tend to cook for myself. But at home, I'm like, I don't ever think about, I won't generally cook stuff. I will buy stuff and then it'll liquefy in my refrigerator because I don't eat it or I forget that it's there. So that's the
And
another hard thing. Not a hard thing, but I just don't want to cook for myself.
last weekend, I went to two different restaurants and got two different takeouts and split them both in half. It was like four meals. It was awesome. So, yeah. And I guess if you were to just focus on, I'm going to choose what I want to eat and I'm going to eat it when I'm hungry and I'm going to stop at enough, do you think you would get a decent amount of protein and vitamins and be okay? Or would you be missing something significant?
I don't think I'd be missing anything significant. No.
So what if you did an experiment? Because y'all know I love me an experiment.
Let's do it.
You could start with a week of like, I'm just going to eat what I want when I'm hungry, stop at enough, see how I feel. The scale may move, it may stay the same. It's data. And then, like, let's check in a week. If you're like, I want to try it for the next 2 weeks, we can. If you're like, oh no, I want to go back to the diet rules, we can do that.
Yeah. So you can tell I'm starting to get nervous. Like my stomach is so tight because
Talk to me.
I don't know how to live not thinking about losing weight.
Yeah.
Don't know how to live like that.
Why does that make so much sense?
I mean, I've been, my weight's always been an issue since I was a little kid. And it's like, in order to, I got made fun of a lot as a kid. Really, really bad. I was tall. I was a big kid. So I think there's that part of me that's like, and nobody's done that in my adult life, like now, but I think it's just this fear that's just hung around that someone's going to say something about my body.
And kind of like I was saying earlier, that role, the dieter identity role, has served you. It has created safety in a way of like, I'm trying. I'm doing something. And so it makes so much sense when we talk about like, just see what you want. While part of you is like, oh, thank God, that would be amazing. Another part of you is like, what the F are you talking about? That sounds terrifying because this identity of a dieter has kept me safe forever. How do I not do that? Makes sense.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack in all of this that, I mean, I'll talk to Coach Lisa about it, but I'm just like, as I was listening to you, I was just like, oh my God. I just feel like there's just one thing after another that is coming out of my bag that I want to talk about. So probably take some time, but
Well, and again, that's one of the beautiful things about an experiment is you're not telling that part of you that feels like the dieter identity is keeping you safe. You're not telling her, we're done with you. We're saying, let's just see what happens. Let's try this for a few days. If you try it for a day, like do a one-day experiment. You don't even have to do it for a week. And just like tiptoe your way so that part of you that is like, I don't know how to live my life not dieting. Honor that. You don't have to slam the door in her face. You can be like, of course you don't know how. Of course you have a lot of legit trauma around it. And so like, let's bring her along and be like, let's see what happens together. And diet identity, if you hate it, you can come right back. What do you think?
No, that sounds great. I mean, I think all in the end, I just want to be happy. So, whatever I can do to get that, it seems like it would be better than a number.
So we can even just start with dinner tonight. You get to choose what you want to eat when you're hungry, stop when you're enough, and just what do I want? What would make my body feel good? And then I would love it, Liz, just like I've been emailing with Michelle. You email into support at PNP and be like, attention, Lizzie. And like, we can just go back and forth and be like, how did today go? We can do another, one meal experiment. We can do a one day experiment and just let your nervous system feel safe and supported as you're trying to see, like, what could life be like, not obsessing so much.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I am so glad you raised your hand. Thank you.
Me too.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. We have a couple of Q&As. And here we go. Wendy says, how do I plan a snack? I think I'm not supposed to eat it if I'm not hungry, correct? But I feel like it causes urges or cravings. That is a good question, Wendy. So, yes, if you want to only eat when you're hungry. So, if you've got a snack planned, but you're not hungry, you don't want to eat it because that would be an overeat. So, an overeat, technically speaking, is anytime you eat when you're not hungry, even if it's on your plan, or anytime you eat past enough, even if it's on your plan. You feel like it causes urges or cravings. So I think what I'm interpreting is that when you have a snack planned, it causes an urge, even if you're not hungry for it, because your brain is, I'm guessing, saying like, but I planned it. So, and one of my clients once got coached by Corinne with this, and it was brilliant. Corinne was like, I would rather you break your plan, like, don't plan the snack. I would rather you go off plan by having the snack when you're genuinely hungry than overeating every day because you're planning a snack that you're not hungry for. So, if that is the case for you, Wendy, what I would encourage you to do is take a week, take a day, just like I talked with Liz, like, let your nervous system feel safe. Let's experiment. Do it with the amount of time that your nervous system feels safe with and say, what if I experiment with not planning a snack today? And when snack time rolls around, I'm probably going to have an urge. Don't be surprised. Expect it. And then ask, am I hungry? Tune in. How do I know? What is my body telling me? What physical signals do I have? And if you are not physically hungry, but you still have an urge, that's not a problem. That's a signal. That is your nervous system saying, hey, we have a need here. It's just not for food. Maybe it's a need for rest or a break or some connection. Text a friend, a funny meme. Dance fails memes are always good ones, make me laugh every single time. So that's what I would suggest for you there, Wendy. Okay, Carolyn says, hi, Lizzie. Hey, Carolyn. You mentioned that you're below the bottom of your maintenance range. I forget if you said it was a couple of pounds or what exactly. I've been eating less desserts this month, and surprise, I've lost some weight. A few pounds. I think I'll be losing a few more. Sorry, I think I'll be losing a few more and then likely below my maintenance range. Can you please share how you think about it for yourself? P.S. I grew up a Twiggy, a super skinny image of what a woman is supposed to look like. I'm slender now. That's an interesting question, Carolyn. So I've spent a lot of time making, my maintenance range kind of be like no big deal. Whether I'm high in it, whether I'm low in it, it's like, we'll see what's happened. Now that's easy for me to say because I've been in a maintenance range for a long time. Like if I'm well above my maintenance range and my clothes aren't fitting, I'm going to get neurotic and obsessive like anybody else. But what I would also do is be like, okay, what are we doing about it? Now that I happen to be low in my maintenance range, again, I'm kind of like making it no big deal. What I'm realizing is I am eating to enough more than I'm eating to full. Like I said in the previous call, I had been up in the high end of my maintenance range in the fall. And so I was like, what if I just leave a few bites behind? And so I've been practicing that since, late October, early November. Lo and behold, I don't miss those 2 bites. I give them to the dogs, put them in the trash, and it's just I'm at enough. I'm comfortable. And so I'm not really making it mean much of anything. Similarly, I'm still lifting weights just as hard. I'm still, kind of like with when I was talking with Liz, I'm not worrying about, am I getting enough protein? I'm eating what I eat. And, my body's still working okay. So I guess that's not a great answer, but I'm like, I'm just sort of not making it a big deal. I wonder for you, Carolyn, what is the story you're telling yourself as you get lower in the maintenance range? Are you telling yourself, oh, this is good, I'm doing it right? Or like the lower I go, the better? That's not what I'm making it mean. Like I'm more like, how do I feel? How am I sleeping? That kind of stuff. Well, how's my energy? So if you're making it mean that lower is better, I would just encourage you to ask like, why? And what do you actually want to feel? Annette says, not a question, but I did not eat 3 times last week because I thought about the logical outcome. All right. Interesting, Annette. Hopefully that you were not hungry at those times. Like certainly if you're hungry, please eat. but like, what a win. Awesome. And Carolyn says, perfect. Thanks. Fantastic. All right, everybody. Ooh, we went a little over, didn't we? Well, we were just having so much fun. Thank you so much for all of your time and your questions and for spending the afternoon with me. It's been great. You guys are fantastic and have a great rest of your day and enjoy some football and stay warm. All right, talk to you later. Bye.